For a few moments this morning, I'll be sharing a message called 2020 Vision. 2020 Vision. We'll be reading some scriptures and then talking about God's plan for you and maybe God's plan for our church, what God has for us as a people in this next season. And pretty excited about sharing those thoughts with you and about sharing God's word with you. And can't wait to see what God's going to do in your next season. Let me begin with something I found humorous. An older gentleman goes into a bar, excuse me for that, and hears the other patrons discussing the ups and downs of marriage. He says, "Next week, my wife and I will celebrate our 50th anniversary," he tells the man. "That's great. What's your secret for a long and happy marriage?" one asked. "Well, you have to do nice things for your wife, such as, well, for our 20th anniversary, I took her to Italy." And so next, the man said, "What are you going to do for your 50th anniversary?" "I'm going to go there and visit her." So I felt inspired to read that, honey. I'm not leaving you there, even if you want to leave there. In John chapter 4 is a great, I think, the most powerful illustration of a one-on-one Jesus encounter. Jesus encounters a woman at the well of Samaria, and he just proceeds to break down every barrier in her life between her and God, between her and the grace that God had for her life. And it's a great illustration to us. And so he, as he's talking with her, she's resistant because back then, Samaritans who were half Jewish and half Gentile were, because of that, they were considered half-breed, and they were rejected by both Gentiles and Jews. It was a prejudice. So there was a racial prejudice against the Samaritans. There was a religious prejudice against Jews and Samaritans. They considered their religion not pure, and so there was a prejudice. And then at that time, there was, of course, women. There was a sexism against women. And so all of those walls, and so Jesus tore down the wall of sexism by talking to a woman. He tore down the wall of prejudice by talking to a Samaritan. He tore down the wall of religious prejudice or racism by refusing to not minister to someone. Jesus loves to break down our barriers and walls. And you want to make sure that you don't discount anybody from being touched by God because you don't like their title, their label. Whoever they're labeled, whatever their title, Jesus loves them and has great care for them. And so Jesus, he ministers to her. He gives us an example. He uses a natural environment to begin a spiritual dialogue. They talk about the well, and he's thirsty. "Woman, give me something to drink." And so they're beginning that dialogue, and then he jumps right into his, and he says to her, "I have some living water. And if you have some, your soul will never thirst again." Oh, for us that are born again, that have that living water, man, we're so grateful, amen, that if you have Jesus, you have the greatest gift this life can give you. The greatest gift is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so Jesus, he used the word of knowledge to totally, release her heart and break down any last resistance. And so she races down and tells the city about a man who told her all things she'd ever done. And the whole city comes to Samaria, up to the well of Samaria. And so what had happened was Christ was sitting there by himself, and his disciples went to get lunch. I don't know why it took 12 men to get lunch, but they all went together to get lunch. He's waiting either because he's tired or he's prophetically knowing he's going to have this encounter. He's waiting there, and they're only gone, an hour, 90 minutes, 2 hours, whatever it is. And by the time they come back, the whole city is surrounding the well, probably several thousand people, and he's ministering to them. And so the disciples are shocked because Christ is doing things they didn't think were doable. They thought it was impossible to reach Samaritan. They thought it was impossible to reach a woman. They thought it was impossible for Christ to impact this region. So as they're having those thoughts, Christ then gives a kind of a culmination, a beautiful summation of what had happened in that moment. And he says this in John 4:35, "Do you not say," and then he referenced kind of a colloquial phrase that was in the culture at that time, "there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest." So we are often in life and in the church and in our own, especially maybe in the practice of religion, we're often in the habit of putting off to tomorrow things God would like to do today. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice today. We worship today. We're breaking through today. We're praying today. We're acting in obedience today. And so Jesus said, don't you say, you know, mañana, someday it's coming. Oh, good things are going to happen. But he said this, but I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. They're already white for harvest. And so Jesus said, if you can see it, you can do it. If you can see it, you can have it. And so when I was reading this a few years ago, God said the sentence to me. He said, Michael, when you can see what other people can't see, you can do what other people can't do. Jesus did what the other 12 thought was an impossible action. Why? He had foresight. He had insight. He had revelation. He had vision of what God can do. I pray by the end of this message that inside of your heart, vision begins to arise. That God gives you a new perception, a new understanding, a new revelation, a new wisdom, a new acumen about a spiritual plan for this season of your life called vision. That's what God has for us as his people. God has a vision for you. And Jesus said, man, lift up your eyes and look. Don't miss what you can see God do today because you're blinded to the opportunity. God, give us a new perspective. God, give us a new clarity about where we are in life. God, give us new insight about our family. Lord, forgive us for being discouraged about things you're not done with. Give us insight about our families being saved, our business turning around, our health restoring, our marriage being healed. There's nothing God doesn't want to talk to you about. God can't wait to talk to you about your future and about the plan he has for your life. That's what vision is, when God gives us a hope, an insight, a plan, a understanding of what the future holds for us. We should be the greatest visionaries this earth has ever seen. We should be vision carriers, billboards of joy, because we're filled with heavenly vision and hope. We should, in this world, everywhere we go, give vision to blinded people and places and generations. That's our calling, to help the blind see, to help those that are under the cloud of discouragement and oppression. But we can't help others see while we're still blind. We must have a vision. It's amazing what just one person with an anointed vision can do in this lifetime. One person who sees possibilities can step into the arena of confusion and hopelessness and bring life to so many other people. When the Holy Spirit was poured out in the book of Acts chapter 2, Peter stood up and preached, and it's a very important sermon, because he's now introducing the activity, he's introducing the operation, the function of the Holy Spirit. And here's what he said: these men aren't drunk with wine, it's only 9 a.m., but this is that spoken by Joel the prophet, when God says, in the last days I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Everybody say all flesh. Young flesh, old flesh, black flesh, brown flesh, yellow flesh, red flesh, white, whatever your color your flesh is, whatever color, just nobody on this planet the Holy Spirit can't touch, anoint, and fill, and dwell in. And then he said this, as a consequence, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men see vision, your old men dream dreams. And so it's amazing, because they're all speaking in foreign tongues, unlearned languages, and Peter didn't even address that. He went to the core of the function of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here to guide us into God's will for our life. That's first by knowing Christ, and then by knowing Christ's plan for our life, or our vision in Christ. And so he does that through prophecy, visions, and dreams. That's the language of heaven, the language of the Holy Spirit. I want to say a couple of things. You're never too young to have a vision for your life. You're never too old to have a new dream for your life. Old men dream dreams. Stop waiting for the rapture or death. Man, as long as you're alive, there's a function, a purpose, a destiny, a dream for your life. God wants to introduce a new dream in your season. And the other idea is this. Don't waste your 20s, your teens, your 30s. Young men will see visions. God wants to talk to you now about the plan and purpose he has for your life. Because if you can see it, you can have it. If you can see it, you can be it. If you can see it, you can do it. God wants you to see things. He wants you to see with clarity and purpose. I see a revival coming to Phoenix. I see a third great awakening coming to America. I see a generation turning to God. I see the greatest miracles and signs and wonders the earth has ever seen coming upon this planet by the Holy Spirit. I see entire nations coming to Christ in one day, like our friends say. There's nothing God can't do. Whenever God shows you something, he's not trying to make you smarter. He's trying to give you an inheritance. God never shows us something he doesn't want us to have. If you see it, you can have it. If you see it, you can have it. In Zechariah chapter 4, I love this story. And Zechariah has a series of angelic encounters and these visionary moments. I think there's eight of them. And this one, kind of the climax of this of these encounters, because it talks about the Spirit of God and grace and great things. The angel comes to him and says this. I love the first verse. The angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who was wakened out of his sleep. In the book of Luke, Gospel of Luke, the Bible says that the apostles, the disciples, they were slumbering. And Luke inserts this because of sorrow. Sorrow can blind you to your tomorrow. Depression can blind you. Discouragement steals vision. And so the angel said he wasn't physically sleeping. He was spiritually sleeping. We don't want to miss something big God wants to do because we're looking only at one world. In 2 Kings chapter 6, Elijah the prophet was warning the king of Israel about the Syrian army setting up ambushments. They were ambushing, trying to capture the Israeli army. But Elijah would always say, don't go down that road. They're waiting for you. Go this way. And so the Syrian king is very angry. And he looks around at his generals. He said, one of you guys is betraying me. And they said, and they're afraid for their life, so they told the truth. They said, it's not us. It's not fair. They got a prophet. We don't. And so he sent a whole army. He sent a whole group of probably hundreds of soldiers and chariots of iron into this little village, this little sleepy village where Elijah lived. And so in the morning, Elijah's servant went out to get water from the well, and he looked up, and the whole city is surrounded by chariots, or in our vernacular, tanks. Can you imagine waking up tomorrow, and there's a bunch of tanks surrounding your house? And so that's what happened. He runs inside. He says, alas, master, what shall we do? And Elijah's as cool as a cucumber. He's like, man, it must be tough to live in your world. And here's what he said. Do not fear, for there are more with us than those who are with them. There are more angels than demons, more grace than sin, more healing than sickness, more deliverance than oppression. You're on the more side. Come on, you're on the more side. And so Elijah said, it must be tough to only see in this world. And he said, this Lord, I pray that you would open his eyes that he may see. And then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. He saw two worlds. He saw the natural chariots of the Syrians, but hovering above them were the angelic chariots of heaven. Yeah, it's okay to know what the doctor says. It's okay to know the exact financial need or debt you have. I don't believe in ignoring. You know, hiding yourself from facts is not faith. It's okay to know how natural things are. But we don't live by fact. We live by faith. We don't live by senses. We live by faith. So that means faith is superior to fact. And faith comes when your spirit sees the promise of God true in your life. If you can see yourself healed, you can be healed. By his stripes we're healed, 1 Peter 2:24 says, is the promise of God repeated frequently in the Bible. But if you can't see yourself healed, it's hard for healing to stay a part of your story. God wants you to see yourself healed. See it. See it as a grace of God in your life. And so, God, lift up our eyes and help us see what you have for us in our journey, our faith and our walk with you, because that's what we have in Genesis 13. I love the story because it was a turning point in the patriarch's journey. And Abraham was called by God to leave Ur of Chaldees, and God said, I'll show you what I have for you as soon as you leave what I don't have for you. Step out by faith. So he leaves Ur, and then God told him to leave Lot. There are some people that can't go with you where you're going. If God takes them, you don't need them. I don't mean that in a hurtful, hateful, mean way. But some people will just peel off your life. Some of them you wish they wouldn't have. But if they do, it's because they're not going where you're going. Okay? And so the Lord says to him, verse 14, the Lord said to Abram after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and see and look from the place you are at. Look from this place to the next place. Look north, south, east, and west. For all the land that you see, I will give to you and to your family, your descendants forever. So I began this church 16 years ago, and God gave me that verse. He says, Michael, if you can see it, you can have it. And so God showed me a church of 10,000. God showed us impacting 10,000 churches around the world. Now I oversee a group of 6,000 churches. This year I will minister to a couple thousand pastors around the world. So that part of it's come true. And now numerically we have 19 campuses, counting our ethnic campuses, our international churches. God's making it come to pass. But I'm believing God's going to do some amazing things. So when I preached a message called 10-10 16 years ago, our anniversary was 2 weeks ago. As a church, we turned 16 on Easter 2 weeks ago. So instead of, you know, I didn't feel like to celebrate then, but I'm going to talk about it today a little bit. So I preached to, 80 adults, whatever it was, in that room, 10-10. We're going to be a church of 10,000, start 10,000 churches or support 10,000 churches. So when you preach that 80 people, there's some cognitive dissonance. It's not that they're fighting. It's not that they're fighting you. They're like, poor fella. They're looking around, and so we're in a huge auditorium, and there's 80 people, and they're looking around saying, how can that ever be? How could that ever be? Well, God wouldn't have showed it to me unless he was going to do it. And now churches in Flagstaff, Payson, Prescott, Surprise, in Chandler, Phoenix, Canada, Romania, Tucson. So God's done so many amazing things. That vision has come to pass because God showed me something. He showed me something when I had nothing. And people say, well, Pastor, I don't have the money. You don't need money. You need vision. Oh, if God gives me money, I'll start a business. No, get a vision for business and watch God bring in the money. Provision is God's supply to your vision. Heaven gives provision wherever it finds vision. And so God wants you to live in vision and just watch. Come on, this property was given to us 10 years ago this month for free. Thank you, 22 of you. If you've ever built a church or tried to build, yeah, so God... So it was the product of vision. Amen. And God said, okay, that vision I have for Phoenix, Maiden's sharing it, so I'm just going to give him more resources. So when you have a heavenly vision, you'll always have heavenly provision. So I pray that you get this because it's time for the season of blurred or blinded vision to end. Amen. And it's time for the season of new clear vision to begin. Refuse to live a visionless life. I don't care how bad things are. I was depressed, seriously, chronically, manically for 2.5 years. 20 years ago, God, 20 years ago this month, God healed me, or this year, God healed me. God did a miracle. But here's how God healed me. He showed me a better future than I was living in. You know your heart's healthy when it can dream again. God heals us from our hurt so we can dream about our tomorrow. If you're not dreaming about your tomorrow, something in your dream factory is broken. Your heart is a dream factory. God, listen, your memory reminds you of past events, but your sanctified imagination shows you the potential of your future. When I grew up in church, Dr. McCray, I heard a hundred, not a hundred, I just heard him all the time about, you just got to rebuke your imagination. Well, imagination is not an evil thing. It's a heavenly thing. People use it wrong all the time. Think about how creative the world is in evil things and how uncreative the church is. We just rebuke all imagination. That's your brain. I don't want to hurt you, but you just rebuked half your brain. God is a creator. Listen to the sentence. God created you to create. If you're not creating, something's not working right in your life. And so God heals us. This is a healing room. I call this the dream room, where dreams, where people's hearts begin to dream again. And so God wants you to tap into what he has for you in this lifetime, his plan. Amen. God has a plan for you. Vision is the Holy Spirit giving you a picture of your tomorrow today. From the place you are, Abraham, look. From this place, I'll show you the next places. Okay, Habakkuk, then I'm going to read some other things. Habakkuk chapter 2, the prophet Habakkuk is having an encounter with God, and he begins by saying this in verse 1, I will stand upon my watch and set myself in the tower and watch to see what the Lord will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. Now, so look at me, because the church always gets goofy when it comes to the topic of correction. So if you've ever been to the eye doctor, he gives you a prescription to correct your blurred vision. The Holy Spirit is your eye doctor, who has a prescription to correct your blurred vision. I will answer when my vision's corrected. When my vision's corrected. So he said, here's what happened. And so the second part is this. God can't wait to talk to you about your future. God can't wait. Jeremiah said it like this, God speaking. I know the thoughts that I think about you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. Good thoughts, not evil thoughts. To give you a future and a hope. What are you saying? God cares more about your future than anybody on this planet. And nobody thinks about your future more than God. And so he wants to take you by the hand and lead you to the future you were made for. That's what he does in restoring us. Verse 2 says this, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Write it out. Something happens dynamically when you write out or type out or make clear a heavenly vision. There's a dynamic when something goes from the ethereal world of a thought or an idea into paper or into some kind of model. When you put it on paper, it becomes concrete. When your eyes can see what your heart has dreamed, something in you comes alive. Write it. So Mary and I were married. I was working for a church in 1984 in California. They paid me nothing. We were living in the ghetto. We made $500 a month. Our rent was $550. Our neighbors were widows on one side and gang members on the other side. We led the gang members to Christ. Motorcycle, I mean serious, violent gang members. So I got to tell you the story. I'm sorry. So the church we were going to, I was helping Lee worship at a church then, hadn't seen someone saved in ever. So when they found out, I told the pastor, hey man, we led our neighbors to the Lord. They're like, really? Bring in the church. I said, okay. Bring in the church. Now I'm bringing gang members to church, to a church that hasn't had a new member in, you know, 40 years. The only people that are new are people born into it. And so they brought him on the stage, and the man was about 6'7", maybe 350. The woman was about 5'8", maybe 105, way tougher than the man. And And so they start giving their testimony, and Pastor George, there, Mike and Mary told us about Jesus, and we are just so GD glad we're saved now, and we are just so effing happy, we can't believe it. And the more excited they got, the more they used their normal vocabulary. And so people started fainting in the audience. People sweating. People, oh, help us, Jesus. They hadn't been around sinners for so long, just a normal sinner's conversation. And so, yeah, that didn't go well. But so the Lord started talking to me, because Mary and I had two little babies, and we're not living good. We had no food. There came a time where the only food we had in our house was a frozen chicken, a bottle of ketchup, and a thing of milk. Half a gallon of milk. And I said to God, God, why are you letting my family suffer? And the Lord said to me, Michael, it's not my fault you live like this. I reread the Bible, and I changed the way I thought. And when I changed the way I thought, I changed the way I saw. And so I told the church, I was full-time in the church. I said, I'm going to take a part-time job, 15 to 20 hours a week. It was a straight commission job. And so Mary and I had a vision. Someone say vision. So straight commission, no base salary. I was selling businesses. So we joined hands together, and for 10 months every week, at the beginning of the week, we said, God, Father God, we agreed together for this week for $2,000 worth of commission. As God is my witness, for 10 straight months every week, I made at least $2,000 working 15 hours a week. Because I had a vision of God meeting our need. Come on, don't be jealous. That was 35 years ago. So here's the cool thing. Poverty is a lack of vision. That's all it is. Poverty sees lack. The Bible says this, I pray you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. When your soul prospers, you see different outcomes. Okay. So anyways, he said this, verse 2, write the vision, tell your neighbor, write it out. Make it plain upon tables that he may run it, reads it. The vision is yet for an appointed time. At the end, it will speak. It will not lie. If it tarries, wait for it. Because it will surely come, it won't tarry. So here's the conflict is, God said, I'm going to give you a vision. So listen to me, just a couple more minutes. God's doing things in my 60s that he gave me a vision of doing in my 20s. Things are happening now I saw 40 years ago. Now, here's the point. If you don't let go of your vision, that vision will come to pass. I don't care how goofy your family gets. I don't care how rugged your finance gets. I don't care how difficult your health gets. If you can hold on to your vision, God, it will not tarry. It will come to pass. God will do it if you can believe it. I want to share in closing something I wrote for. If you flip your notes over, you can see 10 bullet points, I think, that we're making. We'll be putting up in banners on our website, in our lobby, making this clear. Now I want to read this. I'm going to read you the long version, something I wrote out. We've made it simpler or broken it down in more precision in your notes. Our vision for CFTN is that we truly are a church for the nations, that we carry God's heart for all the nations of the world, that we refuse to become complacent, unengaged, or compassionless concerning the billions of people on the planet who haven't yet heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we participate and support in what the Holy Spirit is doing all over the world through our prayers, giving, and going, that we impact the nations by planting and supporting, equipping thousands of churches that will reach millions of people, that our leaders and members go to the nations in short or long-term missions. Our vision is that CFTN grows to 20 campuses in Arizona with 20,000 members. One dynamic church with many locations. Say with me, 2020. So let me ask you, can you believe with me, 16 years ago I preached 10-10. Can you believe to me God can do 2020? That we can have churches in Tucson, in Yuma, in Bisbee or wherever else we need to have churches, that we'll have this entire state covered with CFTN churches that are transforming those communities. I believe God's going to do it in Christ's name. Our vision for CFTN is that we are a multiracial, multi-generational church, that the young and the old and everyone in between worship and grow together in our house, that we have a youthful spirit no matter what our age, that we demonstrate the healing and restoration of the races and generations. We have 100 nationalities in our church membership. Today, as we sit here, this afternoon, we have a church in Arabic and Bhutanese and Nepalese and Russian and Bulgarian and Arabic and Spanish and Myanmar and Eritrean. So all those kinds of churches and people are being affected. Pastor Bonnie and the team are doing amazing things. That the youngest respect the older pour out their wisdom to the younger. Our vision is that we are a loving family where every member is loved and celebrated no matter their age, race, or sex. Our vision for CFTN, and this is only for this campus, is that our physical campus is completely restored and renovated until it sparkles with beauty, functionality, and excellence. How many of you can agree with me that we're going to get this cold campus remodeled? That we do the very best we can with what God has entrusted us with. Every building repaired and repurposed so that we maximize our potential. That's God's plan for us as a people. Our vision for CFTN is that we equip believers to find and fulfill their God-given destiny. That every person at CFTN finds their mountain where God's called and gifted them to excel. Whether it's the family, the church, a business, government, education, arts, or media. These seven spheres of influence where every single believer has been given an inheritance. Our destiny as a church is to help our members find their own destiny. We believe every member, every believer has a calling, a ministry, and a destiny. There is a purpose God created you to fulfill. There is a problem God created you to solve. There's a mountain God created you to move. There's a dream God created you to fulfill. Our vision is that every believer can declare what Caleb declared thousands of years ago when he said, "Give me my mountain." Just a couple more points. Listen to me. Our vision for CFTN is that our school of ministry continues to grow until it reaches and equips thousands of people. That our school expresses excellence in teaching and training people with the Word of God. That our school identifies and empowers leaders that will shake the world for Jesus. Our vision is that our school expands to include schools of the arts, business, media, government, and education. While I was worshiping this morning, God said to me, "Michael Charles Maiden, I want you to make movies in this church." So I declare that we make movies that affect culture. Someone say amen if you could agree with me on that. Our vision for CFTN is we are people that honor and hunger for the gifts and graces of the Holy Spirit. That we continue to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in everything that we do. That every member of CFTN becomes filled with the Holy Spirit and learns how to flow in spiritual gifts. We believe that every believer can prophesy and function in all the gifts of the Spirit. We will always allow the wonderful Holy Spirit to flow powerfully in our services. Our vision for CFTN is that we are a house of miracles, signs, and wonders, a house of healing and restoration, that we continually see the miracles of the Bible regularly manifested in our midst. We see an army of believers raised up to believe in healing and miracles. That we are a safe place for the hurting and the broken to be fully restored. We will never forget that everyone we see and meet is hurting somewhere in their life. We will so consistently express and expose people to the goodness of God that they will truly become convinced that God is good all the time. Our vision is that those with mental or emotional diseases and traumas and brokenness receive the love of God and are made well. We believe that the greatest move of God in all of history has already begun now in the earth, and we're going to be a part of it. Our vision for CFTN is that our worship nation grows to become a truly global force in praise and worship. That worship nation releases new songs every year that will be sung all over the world. That we develop a school of arts that trains all those hungry to develop their gifts. That we have children and youth worship teams that minister. That we create a record label that gives our creative people a platform to release their gifts. We believe our vision is that the members of Worship Nation will travel around the world leading worship and training worship leaders. That's God's going to do that. Our vision for CFTN is that we are most known as a church that is filled with God's love. That our leaders and members carry the heart of God by showing His unconditional love to everyone, everywhere. that the saying no perfect people allowed is embraced by our people and reflected in our church culture. That we together build a culture of love where all are welcome, received, and cared for. That we show God's love to each other and to our church family. That we show God's love to the lost and broken. Our goal as a church is to be known for the way we demonstrate God's love for each other and for the people of our city. Our vision for CF10 is witnessing imperfect people turning the world upside down through God's perfect love. To become everything Jesus ever called us to be, and that we accomplish everything Jesus ever called us to do. That we win the lost, that we disciple believers, that we impact our culture, that we transform our cities, that we shine. That's the vision of our church, CF10. Come on, stand your feet. Thank you for listening to me today. Someone shout, God's going to do it. Prayer team, please join me down front. I have 100% confidence God's going to do it. Why? He's already done it. Everything he's shown me, he's done. This is just the next phase. I'm very honored and humbled God's brought you here. You're a part of our church, either new or old. I'm grateful for the quality of people that make up the membership and leadership of this church. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. Now, I just want to say a couple things. I'm trying only to be gone one Sunday a month. I can't, this trip interfered with that because we're gone a couple weeks in Italy. But listen to me. Jesus Christ is building this church, not Michael Maiden. Thank you. We have Dr. McCraven ministering while I'm gone, Pastor Joey, Pastor Benny Perez. I mean, world-class leaders and ministers, and we are blessed that to have access to such leadership gifts. Amen? So join your faith with us and watch what God will do. I'm all done. Thank you for listening to me today. Thank you for letting me share our heart about our church. I pray this. Would you just lift up your hands if you're okay with that, just for a moment as we close? Holy Spirit, I pray that you would descend in eye-opening fashion. I declare that revelation comes, understanding comes, wisdom comes, clarity of vision comes. I break the power of visionlessness. I break the power of hopelessness. I break the power of discouragement, and I declare that new, fresh, anointed vision pours into your life. That God speaks to you about your life with clarity from his scripture by the Holy Spirit through visions, dreams, and prophecies. That you have, God reminds you of the unfinished business he's already spoken to you about. And that you reclaim those visions and dreams, that prophetic destiny from God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Say this out loud with me, if you wouldn't mind. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you today for what you're doing in my life. I ask today, by your Holy Spirit, that you would give my life a new and fresh vision for the rest of my life. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for visions and dreams, for prophecy. Thank you for talking to me and showing me what you have for my family, for my business, for my future. By faith I receive today fresh anointing for new vision. And I thank you, God, the best is yet to come in my story. In Jesus' name, amen. God's going to do it, I promise you. Listen, God's going to do it.